Good afternoon. It is 12 noon on Tuesday, September 3rd for the meeting of the Petersburg Borough. Clerk, would you please call the roll?
Thomas.
Here.
Scott.
Here.
Donna.
Here.
Bob.
Here.
Rob.
Here.
And Mark and Jay are both excused.
Yes, thank you. Next is a voluntary pledge of allegiance.
Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Now we have the approval of the minutes, regular assembly meeting minutes from August 19, 2024. Could I get a motion, please?
So move.
Second.
Thank you. Motion has been put forward by Member Lynn, seconded by Member Newman. Any discussion? Approval? Clerk, would you please call the roll?
Rob?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Thomas?
Yes.
Donna?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next, we have the amendment and approval of the meeting agenda for today. Motion, please.
So moved.
Second.
Thank you. Member Fine-Walsh has set the motion and Member Schwartz has seconded it. Any discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Bob?
Yes.
Rob?
Yes.
Donna?
Yes.
Thomas?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Public hearings is next on the agenda. We don't have any or bid awards either. So we have persons to be heard on items related to the agenda. Anyone wishing to share their views on any item on today's agenda may do so at this time. Do we have anyone on Zoom or?
There is no one.
Okay, thank you. All right, next, persons to be heard unrelated to agenda. Persons with views on subjects not on today's agenda may share those views at this time. Anyone? Seeing none, anyone?
Okay. There's no one.
Also, none. Next, we have board, commission, and committee reports. We don't have any of those, nor nothing on the consent agenda. Report of other officers. Today, we have U.S. Forest Service Ranger Ray Bourne with an update.
Good afternoon, all. Thanks for having me come in here today. There's a packet included with there with a whole bunch of different stuff. So I'm going to, there's nine different items. I'm going to highlight a key one point in each one of the areas there. First thing is the forest plan revision update. We're still in the review process of wilderness suitability process, and that opportunity to comment runs through September 14th. So that's an opportunity. There's an online link that you can utilize to put in comments on the forest plan revision. Thomas Bay, we've been working on that, and it's not going to be a timber sale. It's going to be a stewardship agreement, which is an opportunity for the Forest Service to still get value out of there. But we're going to integrate a bunch of resource projects along with the timber work. So that'll push us back to offering sometime next spring or early next summer before we'll get into that project. But it kind of still a lot of work to do on that. We're still working through that. And there's a contact in there for Jorge Enriquez, the timber management system right now, that can answer questions if you have more on that. That's the key thing on that. Cabins and Trails, probably the key thing for you is Crane Lake Trail has been upgraded. We've actually put in gravel and some concrete steps on there to improve that trail access. The first, probably half of it, once you get across the muskeg there where it climbed up, it used to be all step and run. Well, now it's gravel and concrete steps to get up on top of the hill. After that, we get some more work on the other side. We'll be working on that again next summer to work on through that. Also, Petersburg Lake Trail has been completely brushed out. It's now open, more or less. It's still not finished. We've got another year of work to do on that, but it's brushed out, so it's more accessible than it has been up until this point in time. Office consolidation, some new news came in late last week. We're going to be moving out of this downtown office the first week of December and moving out to the Scow Bay office called the Harris Building out there, where that'll be the location for the public to meet us and get to know us and do all those sorts of things. We'll probably be in the Harris Building, it looks like, for about 2 years. Well, they remodel and they renovate the building here downtown. A pretty big remodel. They're basically going to gut the building and completely rebuild it. So it'll take about 2 years to do that. So in the meantime, a lot of my staff will be working basically from home doing telework. There just isn't room at the other building to stuff in 105 people into that building. It just doesn't work. So by the time you put all the folks that will be consolidating our offices between the district office and the SO staff and our volunteers, we have about 105 people on staff. So it's a large number of people. So in the summertime, we're now kind of narrowing it down a little bit. Most of our seasonal people have left for the year. So we're kind of down to about 60 or 70, something like that. So it's a lot of people. And the building out there just can't handle that many folks. So we'll be kind of working through that process and doing that. But again, that move probably the first week of December. Some of the folks are going to start transitioning now. They got some time. They're going to start slowly moving stuff down that way. But, you know, starting probably that first week of December, that's where our office will be. And you'll be able to come there and to meet with us if you need to meet with people down there. Firefighting positions available. We are now advertising for 17 open firefighting positions. This is basically for next year for folks, but there's still some stuff going on. We still have crews out in lower 48 still working on some fire stuff. So there's still a big concern, lots of fire activity. It's a lot of this shifted out of the Pacific Northwest and more towards the interior. Idaho, Montana, Wyoming seems to have a lot of fire still going on there. So lots of people engaged there. Talk about the 2024 Capitol Christmas tree. Big effort right now. It's selected on the Wrangell Ranger District, but we need some help. We still need thousands of handmade, durable, lightweight ornaments to adorn the Christmas tree, and they need to come in to the foresters by September 15th. So we've worked with the schools, we've worked with some small young youth groups and things like that, but we still need a lot more. You know, I saw the marker, it's at 1,000, and we need 25,000. We've got a long ways to go. So we need some help with that. If anybody can help us out with that, that'd be great. Last thing I'm going to touch base on personnel changes at the office. Jorge Enriquez, Timber Management Assistant, has accepted a district ranger job in Nogales. He's going back home again to down there, and he'll be leaving. Last day of work will be about September 20th. The other big change is I'm retiring September 27th. A little over 39 years of service. My wife said that I must retire at some point in time, so now's the time. So somebody will be selected for 120 detail. They should be here about the 16th of September. When you get here, I got a couple weeks to kind of get them oriented and where everything is at. So that's kind of some big changes, you know, from a management perspective is what's going on, but that's where we're at. That's the key points I have. Any questions for me?
I guess I would wish you all the best, as well as Mr. Enriquez in his new venture down in Arizona.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that.
Sticking around?
What's that?
Are you staying in Petersburg?
So my wife has a retirement home in Honolulu. Yeah, you know where we're going.
Enough said. Okay.
Yeah,
well, I'd ask.
Yeah. Nice try. She said, yeah, you can stay in Alaska if you want, but I'm not. So I'm like, okay.
Okay.
Thank you very much for your information. All right, next we have the Petersburg Medical Center report. PMC CEO Hofstetter is not here, but did provide an updated medical center report that is attached to the agenda. Next we have the mayor's report, which has two items on it. Early and absentee voting for the October 1, 2024 municipal election. Early and absentee voting will be held in the training room of the police department downstairs near the main entrance to the municipal building, beginning Wednesday, September 11, from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Monday through Friday. Early and absentee voting will end at 12 noon on Monday, September 30, 2024. For absentee voting, go to the borough website at petersburgak.gov for information on requesting an absentee ballot. For more information regarding this municipal election on October 1, 2024, please contact Clerk Thompson at 907-772-5405 or dthompson@petersburgak.gov. Next, we have the manager's report. Mr. Giesbrecht.
Thank you, ma'am. We are wrapping up the lease agreement for the double rooms at assisted living and completing the final review of an ordinance addressing food and service prices at assisted living, both of which will come before the assembly before they're implemented. Riverview Assisted Living in Juneau has contacted us about getting a tour of our facility. They've heard a lot of good things and want to come and check us out. We have filled the janitorial position at assisted living. This will help tremendously with cleaning the facility so the staff can care for the residents more. In the past, the RAs did a lot of cleaning themselves, and this allows free up some of their time and have a more dedicated cleaning person. This fall, the library will be closed on Mondays due to some staffing issues. Our regular hours will remain unchanged from Tuesday through Saturday. We're hosting a special book signing at the library and presentation with renowned Ketchikan artist Ray Troll on Thursday, September 5th at 6:30 p.m. This event is sponsored by Lee's Clothing as they celebrate 55 years of serving our community. I've reached out to Horion Associates to get a proposal for permitting and engineering for Banana Point. Big thanks to the Denali Commission for the $900,000 grant to repair the breakwater. Martin and his crew are helping with the retrofit of the Parks and Rec restroom at the north end of Sandy Beach Park, which will permit allow year-round operation of the bathroom up there. We had some complaints from folks whose kids were playing at the playground and there was no bathroom open, so we are taking steps to fix that. Streets crew dug a new trench to facilitate installation of fiber communication line from 14th Street to the wastewater plant. The new line will increase communication transmission speeds over the DSL service currently in process or in place. We have been working on correcting some long-standing manhole issues throughout town. The crew repaired one failing manhole lid and frame at 1304 North Nordic and brought an inaccessible manhole up to grade at 22 Singley Alley. There are several more on the list as time permits. Assistant Director Morrell is working up specifications and cost information for the proposed replacement of a street sweeper. Our current sweeper is still operational and not scheduled for replacement yet, but has proven inadequate for the job it needs to perform. The proposed replacement will be presented to the Assembly for consideration during the next supplemental budget process. We have gone back and forth on this. We've got residents that don't like, would like us to do a better job sweeping, and the current sweeper really can't do that. So we'll bring it to the Assembly for you guys to take a look. If you probably haven't already heard, garbage bear activity is very high with daily reports of new incidents throughout the community. We suspect that most of the issues result from, one or two problem bears that have learned the wrong habits and are now targeting garbage as their primary food source. Public Works is running PSAs to get the word out. The garbage needs to be secured as required by bear ordinance, and we are also providing bear straps for individual garbage cans upon request. I know the police have been working with Fish and Wildlife and, working on various methods to try to chase these bears elsewhere. As part of the work to supply electrical service to the work building, the line crew successfully cut over a portion of the distribution system from circuit 62 to 63. This will help balance our circuits in our system with help from sectionalizing when Power and Light is restoring power to the community. Power and Light has also received comments from FERC on our seismic hazard analysis and stability analysis that was completed last year. We'll be consulting with our dam safety engineer on the next steps to address any of FERC's comments. Power and Light is also working with the Forest Service on the permitting and agreements to upgrade the service to the district office building you heard about. And Carl will be led a tour of the Blind Slough Hydro Project for the CEPA contingent that met here in Petersburg last week. Many thanks to the Assisted Living Department for the use of their van for the field trip. Police officers are conducting extra patrols at the school, and Chief Kerr attended a safety meeting with the Petersburg School District. This including provided some traffic control for the cross-country meet. We successfully replaced the weight room window with the help of Public Works at the Community Center. And new fall schedules for the pool and gymnasium are out. Please make sure to check the schedules posted around the Community Center on Facebook and on the Parks and Rec website. The new gym schedule on September 9th to account for youth basketball program, which still does need coach volunteers. Stephanie will be hosting a survival class on September 6th and 7th. Registration is limited to 20 kids. Parents encouraged to join. Topics include personal flotation devices, materials and water, knot tying, emergency kit preparation, signaling and shelter building, flares and fire building. We'll be joined by Bjorn Stolpe from our search and rescue group and Aaron Hankins. More information will be out very soon. Jim Holder joined the department as our new building official on August 20th. He will be working towards securing the needed certifications in the coming months. We are completing maintenance on some empty apartments at elderly housing, should have two new residents in September. And Steelhead Enterprises completed work on temporary access to the elderly housing greenhouse entrance and has ordered supplies for the main entrance repair project. We are short on staffed in many borough departments, including Parks and Rec, EMS, Police Department, Assisted Living, and the library. So if folks are out there interested, please talk to Becky or check out our website. I continue to work with staff and the borough attorney on the proposal from American Cruise Lines. We will invite them back to address the assembly and answer questions in the fall. Slowdown in summer harbor traffic has allowed for some staff to concentrate on annual maintenance projects like cleaning docks and floats, power washing the launch ramp and float cleaning stations, mucking out grids, and power washing the grid beams vents. Harbor staff continues to work on plans on removal and demo of two large vessels in the harbor. Pardon me. The first scheduled for October after all impound process has been legally completed. And that's everything I had on my list.
Anybody have any questions, comments? I have a couple of questions. Do we know the cost of running the bathroom at Sandy Beach year-round?
No. It'll be supplies will be the primary cost.
Heating, utilities?
We'll have some heating there, but it's not going to be kept very warm. So it's not going to be the most comfortable bathroom in the world.
Which can probably be a good thing.
I will make sure we get information for you.
Okay, thank you. And then could you or perhaps Mr. Cotta remind me when the street sweeper that we have in existence is set to retire?
So we acquired that sweeper in 2015, and I believe it was programmed in with a 25-year lifespan. I'll double-check that, but it's not coming up for replacement anytime soon. And shortly after we acquired it, realized it wasn't as efficient as the old sweeper, and we kind of made do for a while because we had the old one still and we kept it in a backup role, and so we could use it for the accumulation, in the spring. You have all that sand that's built up on the roads, and it's pretty tough. It's kind of a crusty buildup, and that's what our current sweeper doesn't do very well. It's not good at breaking that stuff up and picking it up, and we used the old one in that capacity for a while, and it burned up in the fire back in 2019. So since then, the sweeper we have in service has been the only sweeper available, and it just doesn't do the job for picking up that the bulk amounts of sand, especially right at the beginning of the season when everything's kind of hardened onto the road. And we've made every kind of adjustment. We've pushed that thing as hard as we can, and it's not doing the job to our satisfaction, and we've received a lot of complaints from citizens as well that it's just not, that they remember things being a little different back in the day, and in this case, they're right. The old sweeper did a better job, so we're going to present some information to the assembly with the next supplemental budget on swapping that thing out and getting something that is closer to what we had before that we feel like would be a lot more efficient and effective doing the job. So,
okay, thank you.
I may jump in just to add to it. So Chris is being very nice and with his response. We probably wouldn't have adjusted this if it wasn't addressed this, if it wasn't for some folks in town who were complaining. It's a vacuum sweeper is what we use. It does not pick up wet material very well. So it does leave. To be really successful, we need a bunch of dry days in a row so the material dries out, and then the vacuum sweeper can work real well. Obviously, this is a year, and most years, we don't have a lot of dry days in a row, especially early on in the spring when people really want this stuff removed. The challenge is, we can go to a manual sweeper. This is what we'll be bringing to the assembly to look at, which can move all that material. At the same time, it creates a lot more dust when in operation. So it's really a question of one or the other. We either deal with the dust from a big manual sweeper, which will pick up all this stuff much faster and easier, or we can have a vacuum sweeper like we have now, which has a tendency to not pick this stuff up overly well. So it takes much, much longer for Chris's crew to get the streets clean. So normally this is something we wouldn't really talk much about. We'd just order a new one, except what's a manual sweeper, Chris? A couple hundred K?
Yeah, I 250 was, I think, the number I'd thrown out there before, but we're working on getting a better idea that we'll present with the supplemental budget.
Which is why we've held off, is that they're incredibly expensive. So anyway, it's going to be a tough decision as far as, do we spend the money on something that we haven't really budgeted for, which would make some people very happy, but it's also a pretty expensive purchase that we weren't really ready for. So anyway.
All right, thank you for that information. And then one more point I have is the assisted living. We have double rooms, double occupancy. I have some concerns about that. And seeing my mother in her own situation where she wasn't sharing a room but had other residents were too close, and there were some problems. So I do have some concerns about that. I'll be interested to see what kind of agreement is brought forth on that. All right, then moving on to unfinished business. There is none, so we have new business. We have derelict boat disposal. Bucks Marine Service provided Harbor Master Wolin with a quote for derelict vessel removal services for the fishing vessel Pacific Queen for an amount not to exceed $83,200. Could I get a motion, please?
So moved.
Second. Thank you. Member Fine Walsh put forward the motion. Member Newman seconded it. Any discussion? Yes, Mr. Lynn.
I have a question. Is there a reason we didn't go out and advertise under and put it out as a contract? I've been asked that by a number of folks around town. And then I guess as part of that question, in the future, are we going to do that type of thing, or what's your idea and approach?
Through the mayor, we have been working on going through the code and getting all of this stuff brought up to speed, and nobody's come and talked to me about wanting to do this project. I've contacted numerous contractors and they don't want to touch it with a 10-foot pole. So we had a fellow that came forward and was moving forward with the original owner to remove a lot of the stuff that was, you know, if it were to sink at the float, would be really problematic for the disposal of it. So he was familiar with the project, and I just continued working with him as we were moving through the process all summer. And so he's given us this number, and we brought it to you to move forward on it. I don't know if it could survive a winter without doing some real damage. So again, it's been on the front page of the newspaper. Anybody that has interest in doing this, they know that I'm there and wanting to talk about removal. So I feel like this is kind of the one guy that has been willing to talk about it, and he provided us with the number that we brought to you. And that's really, this is where we're here, why we're here now. So no, we didn't go through a formal submittal request or anything like that. There isn't anybody else in town. I talked it over with the lawyer, and she suggested that we just move forward and bring it right to you to make the decision and move forward. So we can always go backwards and post it for however long you want and see if we get somebody that'll come forward to remove it. There are other people elsewhere in Southeast that, you know, come push to shove, have done this for other communities, but it's not like there's this business plan out there that you can, go to other people. And then that would require, people coming all the way to Petersburg to do it, and the cost of mobilization gets to be pretty expensive too. So anyway, that's kind of why we're here today, to ask you to.
What would the timeline look like? I mean, if you were to put it out to bid, is what you're talking about, right? What do you think? Well, I mean, has the Harbor Board talked about this, or advisory board?
No. Nope.
Anything like that?
No, they haven't had a chance to meet since last spring. This boat is ready to sink.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, if you want me to stand back and hold off and, you know, wait for the snow, we're working around tides as well. So we tend to look at the highest stage of the tide, which we have a plus 20 foot in October that we're shooting for. And sure, there could be more later on in the wintertime, but then you run the risk of not being able to get anything up the Baylor Hill once the snow, once it starts to get icy. And so, you know, take a walk down to the end of Sea Float and take a look for yourself if you want to.
Oh, I run by that boat all the time.
Yeah, if you want to risk it, we sure could. You know, we could risk it. Again, this information, we've been all watching this boat for a while now. If you've been in the harbor and if you've read any of the front page newspaper reports, this shouldn't be a surprise to anybody that's interested in this business. And I've had people approach us that I asked them, supply me with a quote, give me a number. Give me a number if you're interested in doing this. And we can move forward from that. And this guy did it, so.
Walsh. Yeah, thank you. Sounds like it's scheduled to kind of start up here sometime in October, which would maybe give us, you know, a little bit of time, at least in at least one meeting's time or more, you know, to put this out to bid and just see if there's any response. Am I correct that the actual arrest, kind of the legal process, is still underway, or is that entirely complete at this point?
We put it up for sale yesterday. Today we posted it for sale. And so we have to have it for 30 days for sale. And if nobody comes forward, then we will impound it. I mean, it's been impounded. It's up for sale. That's the process. And at the end of the 30 days, then you can dispose of or sell it for a dollar, or, you know, whatever.
Yes.
So that's kind of, yeah. So there is still a bit of, it obviously would be great to have the somebody doing demo lined up right now, but it sounds like the legal aspect of the arrest and everything of the vessel is still kind of in the completing stages, but still working itself out. So, I mean, it seems to me like we do have a little bit of time to put this out to public for bid before we would, you know, dramatically delay the project or risk, you know, having to cart things up to the dump after the first of the year. It seems to me like there's still a little bit of time. I mean, if somebody could come in with a lower bid, it would be great to see a local company. I feel like there are several outfits that have, you know, the expertise and the equipment, maybe not the time or the inclination, but I would be curious to know. It's a lot of money, and I mean it's just an absolute shame, really, to see the community invest $80,000 or more, right, in someone else's boat with, you know, no return. It's frustrating. At least, you know, it'd be nice to see a local company doing that. So anyway, I would support, you know, just maybe just holding off for, you know, two to 4 weeks or something to see if we can get any interest locally now that everyone knows that, you know, this is being put out to bid potentially, or that there is, you know, a definite project on hand here. I would support that.
I would have just a couple comments in that time is of the essence. You know, these kind of things don't just, okay, you back out of your driveway and you go work, you know, you go to work. It is, there's some mobilization. There is, you know, we're kind of at the 11th hour anyways with this fellow. He needs to, I mean, he's already put in a request to get some money up front to get his team to town to do it. So That's the only thing, is that we quite, you know, we might just scare him off, and then we are where we are, and it's an emergency situation. So that's the only thing I bring up. Again, this has been out here. Everybody's known about this for months and months, if you've been paying attention at all. So, and there'll be other boats if somebody has this real desire to do this. I've got, like I said, we've got a budget now that can probably support a couple of these. And I have had somebody come in the office here lately and say, yeah, maybe in the future I'd be interested. And I feel like, yeah, the next time we go through this, we probably will have a little bit more time to plan, because we have all the things in order now through the code. So that's the only caution, is I really don't want to scare this guy off.
Yeah, I completely agree with everything that the Harbor Master says. One of my big concerns is, like she says, we're in the 11th hour. And, you know, if we decide to delay this process, like she said, we could scare this guy away. And then we wouldn't be able to find somebody else, because he's already put it out there and nobody's responded. The other key point in this that could completely change the equation of how much this is going to cost is, this is an old wood vessel. It could pop a plank at any time. And if it decides to sink and we haven't acted on this, we're talking a lot more than this right here. So if we delay, it might not be the most prudent option. And she's got it all lined up, all squared away. We got the tides, you know, we're coming into fall weather. I mean, it seems this has been going on for a long time. I mean, I've been aware of it for quite a while. So I'm just worried that if we delay, nothing good is going to happen.
Member Lynn.
I'm going to reluctantly go along with this, but I think we need to change our practices in this type of thing. And I agree that we're spending a lot of money, that, or the public's money, then we get no return, nothing for it, except that we get that vessel out of the harbor. And I think we need to really take a look at this in the future, because I do think there's potential for maybe to help some of the businesses here in town. And so our policy, I think, needs to be relooked at. Anyhow, that's my thoughts. Thank you.
Through the mayor.
Yes.
I just want to add, I mean, close being, you know, trying to be careful with how we spend borough money. If money was no object, she's probably got 5 or 6 more boats in the harbor that this would apply for. This is going to be an ongoing problem. I mean, so anybody that wants to do this for a living, come and talk to GLO and get your name on the list, because, you know, it's going to keep happening. Unfortunately, what the harbor is trying to do is to handle those that are most in danger of sinking right now. And hopefully the others, through GLO's intervention, people can be understood that they need to get their boats taken care of or out of our harbor. But our big fear is that this is just the tip of the iceberg. I hate spending this money. It's money the harbor could use for so many different things. And now we're doing it for an individual's boat that we never made any money on. I mean, that boat doesn't belong to us. But if we don't do something, it's going to impact the rest of the harbor, other people's property in the harbor. And that's what our worry is. And anyway, I just wanted to add that to the mix is, this is not a two boat thing and we're done. I mean, anyway.
Thank you.
Yeah. I agree with Assemblymember Lynn's comments. It is expensive, but you know, we have another boat across the bay that is highly visible, and every tourist I fly with the Glacier, and when we're coming back and I'm landing, they're asking, what's the story on that? Why haven't we done anything with it? I mean, it's a direct reflection on our community and how we address things. And I can't help but think that, you know, a portion of the stall rent that I pay for my vessel needs to go towards, you know, the liability of vessels, of people that are not responsible. So unfortunately, we have to take care of it. And that's, but I do agree that, you know, we need to maybe have that discussion about about how to move forward with this in the future.
Thanks. Just real quick, I was wondering if maybe we could, what's the status on recovering any of these monies from the vessel owner? I mean, I know we made some adjustments to the code to kind of speed that along, but in my experience, you know, it requires a fair amount of litigation ultimately. And I mean, do you have an eye on any assets? Like, do they have properties or anything we can kind of attach here in Petersburg or Alaska? Or is there anything on the horizon there that we might recover something?
Well, we've been working with this individual for, I'm going to say, years now, and through the lawyer. And they pretty much, I mean, to the point where you send certified letters and you send, we send them out certified and we send them out to their last known address, and the certified one comes back, but the last known address doesn't. So leads me to believe that at least that person got it. And so, yeah, through this whole process that we've been doing this summer, we're going to go after them. If we choose to get any of the money back, we'll have to litigate towards that measure. And I mean, this is real money, so I think we have to do that. And that's my plan. I don't know if you want to go the distance on it, but I certainly would, you know, even if this is an example, it's a lot of money that we have to get out of at him at some point. And I suppose that's attached to whatever he goes to sell in the future, and he's been made aware of that.
Is there any, sorry.
It's okay.
Sorry. Is there any stipulation that this process needs to go to a bid first, or can we assign a contract like this? Do you know that, manager?
Missed what you said, I'm sorry.
That's all right. Is there anything in code that we have to put this out to a bid, or can we award this kind of contract?
Assembly, through the, yeah, the assembly can award it without going through bid. And when we have, generally what we run into is a, you know, single point, we only have one legitimate bidder or interest in it, we can award it that way as well. But it has to come in front of the assembly as well. I mean, it's one of the delaying it. If it got delayed, you're probably looking at the before, because it has to come back in front of the assembly to award the bid. So you're probably looking at this maybe the second meeting in October before it could be awarded. And again, I don't know schedules and tides and stuff, so how much that changes everything. But yeah, honestly, this is one of those things. We're doing a lot of things at the same time. We're trying to get an ordinance built that allows us to go after people for their, you know, their assets if necessary. Getting this all done, because it's becoming a critical mass. This is, again, I said it, we got two boats that are very dangerously potentially going to sink or give us a problem in the harbor. We got a few more that are the next level behind. And with the new ordinance in place, we'll have more time, you know, so we can look at tide schedules and, you know, probably do bids on those without as much hassle as we've gone through this time, as we wrote an ordinance and still have to get that in front of, you know, had to get it in front of the assembly. All of that won't have to happen next time.
Okay, thank you. Member Schwartz.
Well, back to what Bob was saying, yeah, we need to take care of this. We'll take care of it. What's going to happen in the future then? You know, after this one, what does it look like? What's the process, you know, as far as identifying the boats, getting them out to bid, you know, and so we're not waiting for a boat to sink.
Sure hope not.
Yeah. Okay.
Any further discussion? Can I get a, let's go for a vote then.
I make a motion.
We need actually, motion, we do have the motion.
We do have a motion.
We do have the motion.
Okay.
So I guess, would you call the roll, please?
Scott?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Rob?
Yes.
Tom?
Yes.
Donna?
Yes.
Thank you.
All right. Motion passes 5-0. So the next, we have communications. If there are any communications, I don't see any indicated, they would be in the packet. Assembly discussion items. Are there any assembly member comments or recognitions? Member Lynn.
Yeah, I'd like to talk just for a minute about we had a CEPA meeting here in Petersburg last week, and one of the items that we spent some time on related to the landslide in Ketchikan. And my sympathies go out to the people down there for everything that occurred. But there's a couple things that we talked about that I think are worthwhile. First of all, that whole section of that town went off grid. And I think we've done an incredible job because it did not affect the rest of the community, that community or our communities, when that went off just abruptly, when the line severed and so forth. So I have to say that I think we've done well looking at our grid stability we have here. The second part of that has to do with, we talked a little bit about search and rescue, and we talked about what was done in our community and Wrangell's. I stepped out and offered whatever assistance it would be, and I much appreciate what we've done. But in that community, on that slide, they said during that event, there was three different levels of precipitation where that event occurred. There had been 10 inches of rain in 30 hours up behind that on the hill down through that that really caused that slide to occur in that area. And I didn't realize, I guess, that there was such variation. You know, I thought, you know, it'd be kind of uniform. And they said, no, it was not. It was there. But then the other point I want to make is it had to do with stability. The state geologist has come in now, and they're doing an assessment of that whole area there and behind. But the question I think that the city is going to have to look at is, will you ever be able to put any kind of housing or so forth either in below or above that? And I think that's going to be a very critical question that Ketchikan's going to have to answer. It's one, obviously, it affects the incomes, it affects their infrastructure, everything there. It was an interesting discussion, and those points I'm talking about really kind of stood out to me during that. But they've done really well recovering, and I'm thankful that our communities, you know, offered up the support, whatever we could. It was excellent. Thank you.
Thank you, Member Lynn. Any other comments? All right. Could I get a motion to adjourn, please?
So move.
Second.
All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Meeting is adjourned. Thank you.